Good evening. As Brother Mike said, I am going to be bringing the word tonight. I did get a confirmation earlier today that I just wanted to share beforehand that at Pensacola, we have already had a salvation from a team that went with our church. And so just an opportunity for us to praise the Lord as we get started tonight and just know that He is always working and He is still working within the hearts of our kids especially. And so the message that I want to preach tonight, it was actually one that I had prepared for our teens, and then a pastor came to me on Sunday morning and asked if I would just share it to everybody, since all of our teens and our kids are going together to camp. You know, the kids are at the Wilds and then the teens are at Pensacola. And so the last couple of days, just really praying and thinking about how God wanted this to go and how we should apply it to our hearts. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 is where we're going to start. And while you guys are flipping there, I'm just going to open us in a word of prayer. So, Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word tonight, God. I thank you for the message that you've spoken to my heart, God. I pray that you would enable me to just be a mouthpiece, God, for you as your Holy Spirit speaks, God. I pray that you would use this word to our hearts, God. Help us to grow, help us to learn, help us to honor and glorify your name above all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so Galatians chapter 6, we'll actually start in verse 1, but we're going to spend a lot of our time tonight in verse 2. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so, reading this passage, or reading these two verses of Scripture, we spend a lot of time, you know, in our church, and I'm so thankful praying for one another and spending time talking about the things that we're dealing with. And I really never recognized this until I got the opportunity to start serving with our greeting crew on Sunday mornings, and just having the opportunity to talk to everybody as they come in the door. But Tyler, come on up here real quick. So one of the things that I noticed as a greeter that is so common with the things that we do is that when we are talking to one another, we have a very casual way of having a conversation, right? So how are you today?
Good, Marcel.
I'm doing well. It's good to see you. Is everything going well?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. All right. And that's pretty much it, right? Yep. It gets kind of awkward there then, and normally you just walk away, right? But, you know, Tyler and I have a very different relationship, okay? Like, I've known Tyler for a long time. I coached his brother. I've coached Tyler. I've watched them grow up. And I've seen just a different side of Tyler than maybe some of you other people have seen in our church. But, you know, when you have a relationship with somebody, there's a much different conversation that occurs, right? So, for instance, hey, Tyler, how are you doing?
Good. Yes.
What's going on? How's everything going?
Been having truck issues lately and everything, and just don't know what to do.
Your dad still ain't fixed that truck?
No.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Goodness. Man. Well, have you gotten Hunter to come over there and help you yet?
I don't know if he'll be any help either.
Oh, man, goodness gracious. Well, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. I'm free tomorrow afternoon. We get done with practice about 12. If you need me to come by, I'd love to come help you.
Perfect, I'll let you know.
All right, sounds good. So, you know, a different conversation, right? There was a lot more going on in that conversation than the first one, right? The first one was very superficial, really, right? Like, we were just standing and kind of awkwardly talking to one another, and it didn't really feel normal. And then in the second conversation, we had actual conversation, right? We actually were able to talk to one another. I heard what he was talking about. I was able to have some type of compassion about what he was talking about. I was able to offer help for what he was talking about. And in the end, we came to a conversation to now I actually have a relationship inside that conversation, right? And so that's actually what's happening here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. What's happening is there's dissension. There's a lot of strife that's going on in the church at this time. And basically what he's telling them, and he's telling them that you guys need to have some real conversations with one another. Like, you need to have conversations that actually are meaningful. And so an old pastor said this, and I really liked it. There are two types of burden mentioned in the Bible. The first one is the burden of the Lord. This is really mentioned in the Old Testament as a divine message from God to a prophet, and that was called a burden, or sometimes even mentioned as an oracle or maybe a vision. But we see that in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. And the prophet felt a sense of heaviness, urgency, and responsibility to speak to the people the words the Lord had given him. And then, you know, we also attribute this a lot of times to how pastors today get their messages to speak, right? We attribute it to a burden that God places on their heart and says, hey, this is what I need you to speak. And there's some type of urgency that comes with this type of burden. It's not something that we can just put away. Kind of like Jonah in the Old Testament, right? There was an urgency to that burden that God had given him for the people of Nineveh and what he was supposed to do. But then we also have, we also see in the Bible, there are everyday burdens. And that's just the second type of burden. And these are just because we live in a fallen world, right? Because of sin, because of Adam's sin, we now all are living in a fallen world. We are fallen people living in a fallen world. And a lot of times these have to do with financial problems, health issues, family relationships. Maybe your truck stopped working, like Tyler said in his example. But either way, you know, a lot of times these are things that are tough. They're heavy. They weigh on us. And they're really difficult, you know. And you know, again, I'm so thankful for a church that's willing to share one another's burdens and pray for that. But as I was thinking, you know, as a teenager or as a coach who deals with a lot of teenagers, this is something that I see that our young people really have a lot of need for. All right. And that comes down to us. And so, I tried to look for an example in the Bible that really went with it, and the first one that came to mind was the Good Samaritan. So if you will, flip with me over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we'll be at verse 25 to begin with. Luke chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 25. And the Bible says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?' And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" So in this story of the Good Samaritan, what we're really seeing is we're seeing a Jewish man who is beaten, who is robbed, and he's thrown to the side of the road. And two other Jews are actually the ones who pass by, and they see him, and they pass on the other side of the road. And then this Samaritan man comes by. And a Samaritan and a Jew, you know, for the sake of the Bible, was not liking to one another. This would be like somebody who you despised walking by you and see you laying on the side of the road. And so what we actually learn with this is that, you know, he didn't leave him for dead. He didn't walk right by him. He didn't, you know, call the 911 of the day. You know, he was not looking for just another way to see the man get help. But the Bible says that he had compassion on him. So if you're looking in verse 33 right there, it says, "And when he saw him, he had compassion on him." And so the first thing that we have to know when it comes to bearing one another's burdens is that when we bear one another's burdens, we have to have compassion for the other person. And that compassion sometimes looks different. The compassion sometimes may be, you know, a thoughtful prayer. The compassion sometimes may be, you know, a helping hand when somebody needs it. But we have compassion for somebody, and that's an emotional action that we can have that reflects how we feel about a situation. And so when we have that compassion for one another, it's a commitment to love one another as much as we love ourselves. And again, I'm so thankful for a church that has that has compassion. You know, that was one of the first things that Taylor and I noticed when we came to visit, was right there before, you know, COVID really started, really kicked off, as we came to visit, is just how compassionate and how loving of a church we were coming to at that time, you know, and hearing pastor throughout all the COVID messages in the parking lot, you know, call everybody out by name. And if you left your radio on, you would hear the things that he was still praying for people about, even though he wouldn't say them during the message. He would forget to turn his mic off, and he'd still say them as people were driving by, you know, and just the love that one another had, that we had for one another as a church, was really special and something that we knew that was what we wanted to be a part of and what we wanted our kids to be a part of. And so that compassion is what we see here in the Good Samaritan. He had compassion on this man. And again, like I said, he put his feelings into action though, right? He didn't just have this emotional feeling, all right? He also put it into action, all right? He had to actually pick the man up. He had to actually administer some type of first aid to him by pouring the oil and pouring the wine on him. He actually had to take him into town, right? So he'd never made it all the way from Jerusalem into Jericho. He had to move him fully into town. And then not only once he got there did he leave him for somebody else to take care of. No, he continued to administer help to him, and then even paid for him to continue to have help after he left. And then told the innkeeper that if he occurs any more, then I'll take care of that also. And so it's just a picture of us, of the fact that when we have compassion, we put it into action. It's never ending, right? So for instance, in that example again with Tyler and his truck, you know, if there was really a need there, a true compassionate person wouldn't just stop at the idea of saying, "I will come help you." No, they'd put feet to that action. And not only would they put feet to that action, but they'd bring their own tools to help. And then not only would they bring their own tools to help, but they would also bring him a meal or bring him something to eat as well, and make sure that he was satisfied with the action that was taking place. You know, he carried the burden so much so that the man's burden became his burden. And that's, you know, that's what bearing one another's burdens are. It's not just seeing the need that somebody else has. It's making what burdens them burden us. And that's another thing that's really special. But not only that, we see a third thing in this that's really powerful. In verse 37, we see the exhortation from Jesus to do as we have learned. Right there in verse 37, it says, "Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." Again, this isn't just a passive statement, right? This is an exhortation of Jesus to say, this is what you should do. Go and do just like you have heard. You know, dealing with teenagers a lot of times, I've seen a lot of different scenarios. I've walked into trailers that have holes in the floor that these kids are living in. You know, I've walked into a place when I did my student teaching, and they didn't even have running water in White County. They called all the water that they used as a family in a bin, and they just had to use that. They had one day a week where they were allowed to shower if they had water. You know, just a lot of really hard times that I've seen, and I've been able to see the compassion and the action that educators take every day to deal with these teens. And like I said, this was originally a message for teens, but just a remembrance that, you know, sometimes you don't know what's always going on behind the scenes when you're in any kind of situation. And the same thing goes on for those teens as well. We don't always know what's going on behind the situation for them. And so, you know, I have a lot of hard times that I've seen, but also I've had a lot of times where I've seen those kids become successful and where they've been able to get out because go and do thou likewise. You know, they've heard the things that we teach. They've heard the things that we say. They've heard the things that we do. They've seen us put it into action, and now they're allowed to go. You know, Jesus gave us a call not to just sit around and watch these things that are going on. You know, we had an athlete my first year coaching. I'll never forget it. His brother was in prison. His mom was on some really hard times, and their electricity got cut off in the middle of the year. One of their teachers actually came down to the field house and was just absolutely upset that this young man had not done his homework, and she had no idea what was going on at home with him. You know, and you can't feel bad or you can't be upset at the teacher, because a lot of times you don't know what's going on, and you have, you know, 220 students a day, and, you know, 20 of them are dealing with all kinds of these issues. And so we actually, as a coaching staff, took up a collection and actually paid for this kid to have his electricity turned back on, and that way he could do his homework, and that way he could go on. And the kid actually ended up going on to college. He ended up graduating from college. He got his degree, and he was able to now go out and to actually help his mother, all right, because of the things, because of the compassion, because of the action that people put into it. And it just reminded me a lot about this Good Samaritan when I was thinking about that young man's story today. Just in the idea that a lot of times we get so caught up in the moment of what we're dealing with that we forget to have compassion on the things that other people are dealing with. And so I actually read a story by another pastor that I thought was really good for this as well. It says, Bob Pierce was a man who knew what it was to bear another's burdens. He was one of the most remarkable men that I've ever known, a great evangelical humanitarian, co-founder of Youth for Christ, founder of World Vision, and later in his life, founder of Samaritan's Purse, which is now headed by Franklin Graham. I love and admired this amazing man who was a friend of the little people, the forgotten, the hurting people who are unheard of and unsung, except in the courts of heaven. He once told Franklin, "The only measurement I had in assessing what we should be involved in was, is this something Jesus would do, something God would want done? Ultimately, it boiled down to something I wrote in my Bible on Cogedo Island, 'Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God.'" What an amazing testimony for somebody to say about us, right? You know, I want people, when they come into our church, to be able to say that about our church. And then again, that was something that Taylor and I noticed very early on when we decided to join. But just what a testimony. And so point number one, again, was how we can help broken people carry their burdens. But point number two is the law, right? And so, if we're looking at Galatians 6:2, we see that, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What is this law? Well, this law was first said by Jesus in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. It says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." It's also said in Galatians by Paul, chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, the church family should love one another, right? This was an exhortation for you to love the people that you knew. You should love those people that are closest to you. So, how do we love one another? How do we care for one another? A lot of times it may be gentle. It may be compassionate, right? But sometimes it's forceful. Sometimes it's having a corrective attitude when that's needed. And so applying this with Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, we should strengthen and encourage one another. Those were the two words that I came up with from this passage, that love is strengthening and it's encouraging one another. So how do we do that as a church? Well, number one, we do what we're going to do tonight. We spend a time in prayer as a church, praying for the needs, praying for the praises, glorifying God for what He has done and what He is doing and how He's changing all kind of circumstances for His good and for His glory. But we should also pray for those needs, pray for those burdens that we have, that we carry around. Again, Pastor called me right before service this evening and told me about Linda Harris. She's not doing too well, and he wanted us to have some urgent prayer for her tonight. And just the idea of that was a just kind of a fulfillment or kind of an understanding of exactly what Christ was saying to these people in Matthew, where we can stop in any moment of what we're doing and we can say, these people, we care about enough that we're going to stop and pray. And again, I'm thankful for that. We see this a couple of other times in the Bible. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 55, 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And again, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I may not have all the answers. I may not be able to drop what I'm doing and come help you, you know, at the right time when you need it. You know, I may not be able to financially be stable enough to help you financially if that's something you're going through. But God is there for us at all times, right? He's there for the brokenhearted. He's there for the ones who are sick and hurting. He's there for those who need a helping hand. He's there to comfort us. He's there to guide us. He's there to lead us. You know, that may not mean that we get that promotion at work, because that may not be in His will. But He could give us patience to deal with that boss that we're really having a hard time with. Or it may not be that He can heal us from the sickness that we're dealing with. But it may mean that nurse that that is helping us, she may need to hear about the Lord. She may need to grow in her walk with Christ. And that's an opportunity for us to share Him at that time. You know, He may not be able to give us everything that we want in this world, but He does declare that He's already created a place for us called heaven, and that He is making it welcome for us, and He's getting it ready for us as He comes back to take us with Him, right? And so God has given us a spirit of love to share that love with others, so that these burdens that we carry, they're not so heavy that we have to carry them alone. And that's the main point of this. And again, I've seen that with our own family. You know, like last year, unfortunately, we lost a couple of babies, and they were never born. And I just saw how, just as a church, and especially as women, you guys really came around and were there for Taylor, and that's carrying one another's burdens. That's being there for one another. That's accepting that I may not have all the answers immediately, but just a compassionate love for one another. And again, that's something that I'm so thankful for. And then point number three tonight is again a direct application of how we can use this in our own lives. And so the point for this is parents and their kids. You know, how can we carry the burden of things that are going on in our kids' lives? It's not always easy. Again, I said I've dealt with teens for a decade now. Some of you have dealt with them for a lot longer than that. And it's not always easy. There's things that they go through now that I don't even understand because I didn't go through those 10 years ago. And it's ever changing, and the world is trying to pull them in a lot of different places. But there was a quote, a book the pastor gave me to read that I would suggest for any parent. It's called Passionate Parenting by Kerry Schmidt. And the quote said this. It says, have the relationship with God that you want your kids to have with you. And again, that really struck me kind of hard because that made me think that I had to be vulnerable to my kids. Right? You know, I have Kenley who's 5, I have Harper who's 2, and then we have the baby on the way. And just the idea of having to be vulnerable to my kids and to tell them the things that I may be struggling with, not to the extent of them to carry my burdens, but just that they understand that dad can share the things that he's struggling with, right? And so we've started doing that. We've been going through Proverbs with the girls and trying to talk through the book of Proverbs with them. And every night when we get to prayer time, that's one of the things we talk about when we pray for others. We share some of the burdens and some of the things that people are struggling with and how we pray for those things and the ways that we can be vulnerable to our kids is we don't have to share exactly what we're going through, but we can share things that they can understand, right? We can share things that they can comprehend, and we can make it so that they begin to see us in a different light. You know, they don't see dad as being untouchable. They see dad as having a heart just like I have a heart, you know, having love and compassion for one another just as I do. And so the first thing that I'd like to do is, I mean, I just want to challenge you to have that talk with your kids. You know, again, dealing with teenagers every day, I know it's not easy. I know a lot of times they try to push it to the side and they try to mold down the things that they're dealing with, you know, whether that be an injury that I deal with or whether that be something that's going on at home. We have a lot of different things that we see on a day-to-day basis, and a lot of times kids are scared to talk to you about it because if they become vulnerable, then it may mean that they actually have to make a change. And so we have to be okay with helping them get to that vulnerable state, which means that we have to be vulnerable to one another. And that's the first point, that we have to be vulnerable to one another. We have to be accepting of what both sides are saying. And sometimes that's not easy, right? I had an athlete that I was really close with last year, and we're in the weight room one day, and I was really just trying to push him extremely hard, and I knew I was, and I was trying to get him to a point of where he either tipped over or where he took the next step, and the young man did. He tipped over, and while we're out in the hallway, because he exploded and he was just all kind of frustrated and angry, we're out in the hallway and we're talking, and one of the things that it came down to was that his mom had been putting a lot of pressure on him to get an athletic scholarship, and that his girlfriend was putting a lot of pressure on him to spend time with him, and that he was in AP classes, and so he was struggling with keeping up with his coursework, and we're right at the end of our football season, and so we're trying to battle to get into the state playoffs, and this young man was just feeling the weight, the burdens of all of these decisions that he was trying to make and all these things that he was trying to do. They had all just come to a point at one time, and he just broke down, and it was really just a kind of a sweet and vulnerable moment for both of us because I was able to open up to him about some ways that's helped me grow in the past, getting to those moments in life and being able to accept some of the things that we're dealing with. It's not always easy. The second thing that we see is that kids, you have to create a relationship of trust and respect with your parents. You know, you have to be willing to give them an opportunity and to respect them enough to listen to what they're saying. You know, we talk a lot about respect as coaches, but there's a respect factor that comes with being a parent, and there's a trust factor that comes with being a parent. And as we're respecting and trusting one another, it goes both ways, right? You know, we ask for our parents as kids to respect us, but as parents, I mean, I see this on the other side now, that we ask for our kids' respect as well. And sometimes that means that we need them to step in moments when we're not looking for it. And a lot of times this takes patience. And so, again, from Passionate Parenting, by Kerry Schmidt, he said, how do we respond with wisdom to our kids? And there was 4 points, that he said. He said, number one, we have to be patient in your spirit. Be long-suffering, gentle, and tender to the things that your child is going through. And that's from Galatians 5:22 is where he pulled that from. Number two is be understanding in your heart. This question was kind of challenging to me. When was the last time you sat down and encouraged your teen through these changes that they're going through? Right? Talked a lot about the emotional and the physical, the psychological change that occurs between the ages of 13 and 21, and how often do we sit down and talk about those things? Again, as a football program, one of the things that we've started to do this year is what we call skull sessions. And basically it's where we sit down at the beginning of every practice and we just talk about things that are going on, and different coaches have different lessons that they've taught, and it's completely 100% open to anything. But it just encourages this idea that we want to talk about all kind of different things. We don't want to just talk to you about football. We're not here just for football. We're here to help you grow. We're here to help you learn, and we're here to love you and to care for you. And so that really hit me when I was reading through this book, that we should be doing this again at home, you know, like sitting down at the dinner table and having a meal, and while we're sitting there talking about the things that are going on in your lives, and we have to let your teenagers know that you really do understand and desire to be there for them, right? That's the key word, is that we have to show them there's a desire to know what they're going through. Number three, be biblical in your training. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We have to schedule time to sit down and biblically instruct our children through these times. Help them to understand the changes and instruct them using God's word. Be the initiator of these talks and have them frequently. Using Jesus as our example is always a good starting point. And then number four, be balanced in your family schedule. Often a rebellious or antagonistic spirit can dramatically change with a good long night's sleep. So often we miss the signals as parents, or we mistake them. Ask the Lord to help you understand the difference between rebellion and exhaustion. Again, I've seen this 100 times as a teacher, as a coach, that an athlete comes in and they're just extremely frustrated and they don't understand quite what you're trying to get them to do that day. But then again, they didn't sleep at all last night. You get updates on your phone that so-and-so was on social media at 4:30 in the morning, and we know we got practice at 6:30, 7, and they're still up at 4:30 and on social media, and then you wonder why they don't abide by the rules, or why they're just a few minutes late, or what's going on in their home life that may be keeping them from doing exactly what you're asking them to do. And so it's just as the last point of this message, Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. I love how the father asked for the son's heart, and he was seeking a deep connected relationship from which he could mentor, train, and nurture his son in the ways of the Lord. So what is the focus of us in our hearts? You know, what's the focus of the hearts of your kids? You know, or the focus of the people, hearts that you encounter every day. We can really do much more with this lesson and with this teaching that God's trying to teach us if we remember to carry the burdens of somebody else with us in our own hearts and not allow it to just go by the wayside like the Good Samaritan, right?